Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 54 of the Juvo Hub podcast. I am your host, Jonathan Saar. And with me today again is Mark Howe from Howe Creative Concepts. We're glad you are tuning in today for our episode. We appreciate those who are connected to us via our YouTube channel. So thank you for subscribing to that. If you aren't yet, just search on YouTube for Juvo Hub, or you can find the show also on your favorite podcast station. Be sure to check us out there on Apple, Pandora, Spotify, and all the other major ones that are out there. So just search for Juvo Hub on your podcast player and you can follow us there. If you want to connect with us on social, we recommend going to Instagram and connect with us at Juvo Hub, J-U-V-O-H-U-B, where we put a lot of micro content that will be available for some clips from this show and other tips and best practices. So today, Mark and I are going to talk about three essential communication skills for leaders. We were reading over an article from the Harvard Business School, amazing resource. If you're not subscribed to them, you need to be. They put out excellent content. So they put out a nice article on some of the tips and skills for leaders. And we've honed in on three, wanted to share with you not only some quotes from the article, but just some of our own thoughts as well. So what are our objectives for today's episode, Mark?
Yeah, so I love this and love this article. I definitely recommend going in and reading it, especially if you're a leader of people. But the first topic here is the ability to adapt. The second is speak in specifics, be clear. And third, allow a place for feedback and to act on it. So I love these three.
Yeah, yep. And all very, very relevant to today. So, you know, let's focus in on our first one. Why should or how should a leader be adaptable when it comes to how they communicate? Like what's your take on that concept?
Well, you know, look, I have my own feelings and thoughts, but also when I read this article and I'm looking at something that says, you know, are you a leader that can adapt? It means that first of all, you have to decide what is your leadership style and stick to it. You know, one thing that does confuse me in our work environment, our world, is when leaders, they want to play when they want to play, but then they want to work when they want to work. It sends a wrong message. And I've worked for people in the past that you never really know when it's time to play. And there should always be time built into play, right? But you have to decide as a leader, when are those times appropriate? Do your team members know when you are allowing that behavior? Because what's terrible is the message that is sent is that, yes, I'm playful, we can play whenever, but then when you catch them playing on their own, they get in trouble. And so when you think about your leadership style, being direct or who you're communicating to is also something that you have to consider. Do you have the ability to adapt? Meaning, do you know who your audience is? Do you truly know who your audience is what I would ask a leader, meaning that, you know, generationally speaking, each of us are in different maybe pockets of generations. And let's face it, we all receive communication a little differently and some topics a little differently, but also it can be what's the term, location, you know, like where we're from, what was our upbringing, what have we been exposed to in the world? And to me, that's key. If you are a leader of people, then you should have educated yourself on where some of your employees come from, you know, meaning where they've grown up and what they've experienced in life, the hardships. If you're a type of leader that only wants to talk to people that have gone to college and have business degrees and, you know, can use your words, your exciting big words, then you might be missing as part of the audience. And to me, that's a piece of being able to adapt to different types of environments around you and the people that you're actually talking to.
Yeah, no, spot on, man. And it really takes as leaders to actually know your team. It's really hard to be adaptable if you don't really know them. Yeah. You know, there's always like that office joke when the manager is walking through and And he's like, "Hey, Bill, how's your day going today?" And he's like, "My name's Jim." You know, it's
like, yeah, totally.
Yeah. So you got to make sure you actually know who you're talking to. And if you're a disconnected leader, it's going to be very, very difficult to adapt. But taking the time to get to know your team will definitely help with being able to adapt, because, yeah, everybody's got a different personality. We're not going to go down that deep discussion of Myers-Briggs and introvert and extrovert and all that kind of stuff. That's a whole other topic. You don't have to be a master of all these personality types necessarily in order to adapt. You just need to know, get to know, ask questions, learn a little bit about your team. And I like your point too about like knowing your audience. So for our learning and development departments that are listening or watching this show right now, you know, the way you're going to teach and train your maintenance professionals is going to be different the way you teach and train maybe your leasing professionals or maybe the regionals. You know, so there's all these different types of personalities within that, like that job category. And so you need to be able to adapt and speak their language. And it's, and if you don't know, like we've said it many times on this show, hey, Mark, it's like, okay, if you've never been on site, it's going to be really difficult, and that connection is going to be there because it'll be like, when have you ever been? When have you ever picked up a wrench? When have you ever picked up a hammer? When have you ever picked up a guest card? You know, so being there and knowing what our employees are going through provides, you know, a better way for us to adapt. We're able to kind of speak the speak. Yeah. So speaking of speaking, so to speak, how can we be clear? So that's our next objective for today. As an effective communication strategy, as a leader, why is it so important to be specific, be clear in what we're sharing with a team member or an individual on the team? What are your thoughts, Mark?
Well, look, you know, I've worked for many types of different leaders in the past, and it's very confusing when you're a leader and you're not, your message isn't clear. Like I said before, I worked for someone that we could play when they wanted to play, but as soon as we were caught playing without their knowledge of it, we got in trouble. That message was completely backwards. The work was still getting done, but then it became more of a, oh, they're jealous of our good time, our fun time, right? And so anyway, long story there, but what I really want us to focus on is when you speak in specifics, you let people know who you are, what the expectation is. Tell your teams what you expect. And if you have to break that down into a daily or weekly or monthly goal, it's really more about time management, this piece, you know, setting these goals, setting the expectation, and allowing these little moments or breaks for fun. But stick to it. If you're going to tell me that if I reach this goal, that you specifically say, like, I need 10 leases or I need to accomplish XYZ and we do it, make sure that you're trustworthy, that you give us the reward. So speaking in specifics would mean this is what I expect of you. This is what we're going to do to get there. And then this is the reward for it. If you're not teaching your teams that you're trustworthy, I think all of this falls apart. But, you know, the transparency is also something that I've always loved from leaders. I know when I have sat in corporate environments and listen to people tell the teams, like, well, don't tell on-site people this or that, or, you know, they don't need to know all the details about this. But when you don't share that information, whether it be a financial reason or maybe a human resources reason, then that's where the transparency gets skewed. It gets lost. The clarity gets lost. And they get a little confused about where and what they're supposed to try to accomplish if that's part of the mission, that information is part of the mission. And I never liked it. I'll be honest, like the transparency to me threw me off. If I couldn't believe that you were being 100% transparent in a conversation with me and weren't sharing all of the details, I didn't really appreciate that. The second part of that is maybe I need to know. Maybe you educating me on the why we can't do this or why we need to do that will help us get to this, which will help the investment or our investors receive this kind of payoff, whatever it means financially. Talk to me about, teach me what those gains are. That to me is being truly transparent. I remember working for an organization once. And, you know, I was learning. I was new to leasing. I didn't really understand when someone said, don't ever tell the regional this. It was like XYZ. And I looked at them and I was like, but why? It's the truth. And this manager looked at me and said, we never tell the regional the truth about, you know, the numbers. And I was like, I was so shocked. And I thought, okay, so I guess I need for you to tell me what should I lie about and what should I not lie about. Mm-hmm. I was so confused. And I remembered thinking to myself, like a year or so later, I was talking about that particular manager. And I said, well, they cook the books down there at XYZ property. And someone said to me, what does that mean? And I was like, well, they're just not honest about their numbers. They're not honest about anything that's truly happening. And, you know, look, I think today in the world that we're in, we kind of need to be a little more transparent, because those things, those little, what I call those little lies, will catch up to us. And your investors aren't stupid. You know, right. They know a lot more than we think they know. But anyway, that's my, yeah, my take on that.
Oh, no, it's that's awesome. Yeah. Because it's going to come around. What goes around comes around. It's going to happen eventually. And we don't want to set that example as leaders. Like, I can't even imagine what that must have felt like. You know, here you are new, and here's somebody that is your leader telling you to lie to another leader. Like, that's just, a bad equation there for a good workplace environment, for sure. You know, so I'd like to spin it just a little bit from a different perspective. When I was reading over this article, there was one sentence that was in this article from Harvard Business School: the more clear you are, the less confusion there will be around priorities. Mm. So I took that as, it's like, okay, here's our work week. We've got 15 things that need to be done. Well, how does an employee know which one takes priority if that's the only thing you dispense?
Right.
Here's your 15 things. And it doesn't take into account other things that may happen. Situations come up, emergencies happen. That's not a whole lot of clarity. That's not being clear on what is the most important. So as opposed to just saying, here's your 15 things that need to be done this week or this day, a good leader, a good communicator is going to prioritize those 15 things. Well, these three things are the most important, and here's why. So if you can focus on those first, and then after that, here's the next set of priorities. So that's another aspect for our audience to consider, is like in the way that you communicate what needs to be done on any given day, make sure that your team members understand the priorities that are involved in that. And in that way, there won't be any confusion. And because if you don't say it, then inevitably it's going to catch up on you as a leader, because those things will happen during the day. What's in your mind was most important doesn't get touched. It's the end of the day. And you're like, hey, what's going on? And then they're like, well, I got these other five things done. I didn't know about why this was so important. So
yeah,
really, really important. As you mentioned, Mark, you know, what you said is an example, and being transparent, honest, and clear, and also how you treat your team. So that leads us to our third essential communication skill, and that's a place for feedback. So how does a leader go about doing that, creating that environment where we welcome feedback, and that our employees will know that we're gonna react to it. We're gonna act. We're gonna do something about it.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting. I like this last piece here about sort of keeping that open line of communication and asking for feedback. I'm working with a friend of mine on a leadership program, and a piece of it talks about encouraging these leaders in this group that we're working with about doing more one-on-ones with their teams. If you're not setting that time aside to truly focus one-on-one, like, hey, Jonathan, let's you and I, every Monday, we're going to get on a call at 8:30 in the morning and talk for 15 minutes or 30 minutes, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But allowing that one-on-one time, showing your employee that you truly care about them, that you are dedicating this time to them and their needs. It's not about what you need from them. It's about you asking them, tell me more, tell me what's happening, tell me what's going on, tell me the good, tell me the bad. How was your week? You know, let's talk about any of the issues that are surrounding the positives and the negatives. When you truly invest in the people that report to you and in your organization, you will find the time to say, and look, I get it. We all love to say, oh, I don't have time. I don't have enough time. But if you're not making the time to spend this one-on-one time with your employees, and I don't care what type of leader you are, you could be an EVP, a president, a CEO, or a regional manager, whatever. If you have people that report to you, then each and every one of those individual people deserve one-on-one time with you. And like I said, if it's 15 minutes, but it's about you saying, this is our space for you to tell me how I can help, what is going on in your world. And what we're finding in this focus group is it is amazing about how the line of communication has been opening, we'll say, based on this sort of rollout that we've done with them, because it had not been done before. Okay. And meaning that the one-on-ones weren't happening before. Maybe they sort of got away from them because they got too busy, but now more feelings are being talked about. There's more vulnerability. And it brings me to a point in the article, you know, just about empathy. So are you truly an empathetic person? If you're asking for a one-on-one time with your employees and they do need to bring up something that's personal or that's on more of a negative side, are you capable of being empathetic to how that affects them personally or professionally? I find that to be kind of interesting because some leaders that I've worked for were not empathetic and really did not care about the things that were pressing on my nerves, what I call, you know, like, well, this is what's causing me the pain right now. And it could be XYZ or an employee. There was like no care or concern about addressing it. So sometimes I think we really have to ask ourselves, are we truly capable of being empathetic? And what is your level of empathy that you possess?
Right. Yeah, no, that's excellent. Yeah, it's hard for someone to go to a leader if they don't feel like they're going to be listened to. And that's a safe place to be able to give, you know, share your thoughts, what, you know, what's bothering you, what you feel is not working, and so on. So yeah, that has to be there. And, you know, I think of it from this perspective, Mark. It's like, not only does an employee need to be able to provide and give feedback to their leaders, but they also need to know, I think this article touched on that too, like what's going to be done about it. Mm-hmm. You can imagine it's like, okay, if you're one-sided about this, all right, you know what? We want to hear what's not working. Tell us. Okay, you listen. Everybody puts their hand up. They feel good. You're like, all right, that was great. Meeting adjourned. We'll see you next week. You know, that is a poor attempt to really keep, like you mentioned, like opening those doors and keeping it moving forward. Because if you don't have a process for your employees to demonstrate how you're going to implement it, acknowledge it, and say, even if the answer is no, sometimes it's going to be no. You can't, you're a leader can't say yes to everything. There are going to be times you have to say no. But you have to be able to say why you are saying no. And at the same time, there's always room for being able to implement certain things. Just again, it depends on the topic. We're speaking in very general terms on this show for today. But the idea is listening and looking for ways that you can be able to take that feedback and actually act on it, as opposed to, you know, this random jar of what do you want us to do? Put your fold it in a piece of paper and put it in some fishbowl, and we'll get to it when we can.
Yeah. You know, I think it's so funny, Jonathan. I don't know if you've, you know, worked in organizations where we love to say in business, we have an open door policy, or we embrace candor. Right. And it's all these beautiful things that we love to put on plaques around an office and hang on doors. But when you truly walk into a leader's door, you're, you know, the head of the organization, and you feel unheard, or they're not actively listening, or they don't have the ability to adapt to you and your circumstances, then it sort of, it gets thrown out. The baby gets thrown out with the bathwater, in my opinion, because it's like, yeah, you can hang this sign on your door that says, oh, we have an open door policy. But if you're truly not listening to your employees, you don't care, you don't possess the empathy to really say, tell me more, explain to me what's making you feel this way. There's not that care there. Then honestly, all it is just a plaque on your door that says open door policy.
Right. Got to have action. So good takeaways from today. So our three objectives for today, we were just talking about only just three: essential communication, a strategy, skills for leaders. There's obviously plenty out there, but we're just focused on three: being able to adapt, be transparent, be clear, and allow a place for feedback, and make sure that you do everything you can to implement it. And if you can't, be able to explain the reasons why. So great topic today, Mark. I love it. I love it. I love it. So Mark Howell from Howell Creative Concepts, how can people connect with you?
Yes, absolutely. So howellcreativeconcepts.com. Howell is spelled H-O-W-L, creativeconcepts.com. That's me.
All right. My name is Jonathan Sarr. This has been episode 54 of the Juvo Hub podcast, also available on YouTube. So please give us a thumbs up. On YouTube, if you're watching this show, we appreciate your reviews. If you're listening to it on a podcast, thank you for sharing it with your network. Please tell other people about this complimentary education of Mark and I sharing our thoughts and best practices on really, really important topics for our industry. And we would love your feedback. So please share with us any topics you would like to be discussed. And if you'd like to be on the show, you know, let us know. We'd love to have you as a guest. So until next time, class dismissed. Thanks, everyone.
Bye-bye.